A reading from St. John's Gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits called Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived in the sandbank under the root of a very large fir tree. Do you remember that story? Perhaps your parents told it you. Perhaps you've told it to one of your children or grandchildren. And it's a story about life. The consequences of living in an adult world. The rabbits are sent out. Peter, in full knowledge that his father had already ended up in the pie because he was caught in Mr. McGregor's garden, decided what was on offer was so attractive he couldn't resist to go there again. He ended up hiding in a watering can, getting soaking wet. And so the rabbits came home, and the story does have a good ending, in a sense that they were all safe. Peter, I trust, learnt his lesson. But it was a hard lesson because, if you may remember, he got to drink chamomile tea whilst his siblings had milk, blackberries and apple for supper. It is a nice ending though, because he's safe. He just had to learn from his errors. We like a story with a happy ending, don't we? In fact, as a youngster, I was rather impatient and sometimes I would skip a few pages to look at the back to find out what happened and go back and start again from the middle. I couldn't wait for the surprise. Now, of course, Peter Rabbit is fictitious. But it begins, like a lot of stories we learnt as children, with those words, "once upon a time." And a lot of those stories finish, and they lived happily ever after. Well, John's gospel doesn't start with once upon a time. It starts with three words. Well, it starts with a few more than three words, but three words in common with somewhere else. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. And that might resonate with you as being the same three words that begin the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the world and saw that it was good. In the beginning. John is writing this gospel to emphasize to us that God is doing something new. Created the universe, he brought Jesus into the world. But this particular part of the story we've heard tonight, we've skipped all the nasty, horrible bits. We've not heard about Jesus' earlier ministry at all. In fact, John doesn't talk at all about Jesus' childhood. But we've not heard about Jesus' early ministry. We've gone straight to a scene in a room where, perhaps like Peter Rabbit in his watering can, they were scared stiff. They were in this room, fearful of what had happened to Jesus might happen to them. Like the story of Peter Rabbit, who learnt a lesson in life, these disciples were learning what it would be like without Jesus with them in person. They'd spent 3 years with him, and suddenly they'd lost him. They'd lost their leader. They were locked away. Now, we talked about stories, and I don't know if this is familiar to many of you, this version of the Children's Bible. We've got three in the Children's Corner. I marked this story the other day and was pleased when I came in this evening to find it was unmarked, which meant someone had actually opened the book. But I have so many happy memories of this Children's Bible. Although it does make me smile to see Jesus, this golden-haired, fair-skinned person. Undoubtedly, I guess he had darker hair and darker skin and perhaps didn't even look so handsome. But nonetheless, the pictures are images that I think have stayed in my mind for the whole of my life. That image of him coming to the disciples and showing his hands and saying, "It is I. Peace be with you." In fact, when I received this Bible as a child, and I can't remember if it was for a birthday or Christmas present, because I'm one of those, my birthday comes close to the Christmas season, not too close, later this month. But nonetheless, I got it as a present, and I remember taking it in school. And my teacher in year two, as it's known now, lovely lady, Miss Jackson was her name, and in fact, Angela nursed her in a local nursing home, but she spoke beautiful English. And she said, "Paul," she says, "would you like to bring your Bible in and read it to us?" Well, I couldn't quite replicate her lovely Cheshire accent at the time, but I did my best. And I remember reading a lesson from Paul's travels, perhaps inspired by my namesake that I might one day be proclaiming the gospel to others. But this story of Jesus in the upper room is one that's always captivated me because of that shift of mindset that the disciples went through from seeing a crucified Saviour to seeing their Lord for real and experiencing him for real. So John's Gospel, which begins with those words, "In the beginning." I remember in the book of Genesis, we read of God's Spirit, the wind of God moving over the waters, and the Spirit of God breathing life into man and woman. And this is John's clever way of saying here in this reading, when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on his followers, it's the breath of God coming from his mouth. It's another creative act. He's transforming those people from fearful followers to knowing that he is alive. God's Spirit being experienced in a new and more powerful way than ever before. And it's that Spirit of God which Jesus promises, which can't be taken away. And I think that's so precious, particularly when we've lost someone we love. And in the light of what's going on in the world at the present time. Because I see what's going on in Spain, and my heart goes out to those people. I see what's going on in Gaza and Israel, innocent people suffering so much, the African continent, and you think, where is God in this? And it's that life experience I've had of knowing Christ that keeps me faithful to him and to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That encounter with the disciples tells us Jesus is not thousands of miles away. He's everywhere. And that's the greatest mystery of all. He's everywhere in his risen life. And the promise that he brings us, of course, is that he brings us eternal life and reconciliation to God. His resurrection is the pointer to the future, God's desire for the human being. He spoke of a great wedding feast. I'd like to think one day we're not going to be drinking chamomile tea. We're going to be drinking milk, eating blackberries and apples, and lots more good things beside in God's glory. One final point. Those words towards the end of that reading, in that last paragraph. This gospel is written really for you and me. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. It's written so that you may believe. Amen.